some schools, some Buddhist schools of thought, they posit, they point to the mental consciousness as the self or the person, and various some school, they point to Ale Vigyan, or in English would be called as the repository consciousness, the positive consciousness as the person. And whereas and yet we find other schools of Buddhist schools of thought positing the mere idea of the self, mere self, rather than trying to be pointing to some concrete thing as a self. So as said by Nagarjuna, that there is no self other than the aggregates of the self. It is because of this that the self or the person must be there where the aggregates are, aggregates of the self exist. And then when you try to identify the various aggregates of the self, primarily we can do that into two, the mind and the body. So if you try to take the body as the self is actually regarded as this kind of agent which takes or which partakes in the body and the mind. So, and this the kind of agent which throws away the body and mind of this life, and which takes the new life, the new body and a new mind of the next life, and so forth. So, if you when you think of this self as some kind of the agent, appropriator of the aggregates, so it is not at all tenable to posit or point to the body as a self. So, when I speak about when it speak about your being Chinese, your being Tibetan, or yellow-haired, referring to the Westerners, so actually we are doing that in by way of dependence on the physical body, and whereas when you say I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Christian, and so forth. So that is actually done in relation to the mental faculty of faith. So the lowest Buddhist schools of thought, because that this self should be something which should be existing where the aggregates or the parts of the self exist, it is because of this that the lowest schools, they think, they find it very uneasy if they cannot point to something among the parts of the body, parts of the self, as the self. So then it says that in the supplement to the Middle Way composed by Chandrakirti, he rejected the position that the aggregates of the self is actually the self. And there in the commentary, the auto commentary of this the supplement to the Middle Way by Chandrakirti, he said how this self should not be something pointable among the parts of the self, rather it should be a mere designation based on the parts of the self. And also in it is a convention that the aggregates, they are the things to be possessed by the self or things to be appropriated by the self. And whereas the self is the agent which possesses these aggregates or the appropriator of the different aggregates. And it is because of this that if you say that these aggregates to be appropriated or possessed by the self are actually the self, self itself, then you have to accept the inconsistency or the contradiction that the things to be possessed and the possessor are actually the one. So this again a big kind of a great flaw. So now, if we analyze in a different angle, to examine whether or not each of these parts is the self, no. The each of the parts of the self cannot possibly be the self, because say your arm, is it the self? No. A hat, the self? No. So that way we see that there is nothing among the parts to which we can point to as a self. And yet, if you think that there is a self, although the each of the parts, they are not self, but they could be a self which is distinct, which is separate from these different energies or the parts, again, it is not tenable. We cannot point to, we cannot find a self which is something distinct, which is something separate from these different aggregates. So if you tease about all these aggregates and then try to see whether or not the self exists as a distinct entity away from these aggregates, again, it is not findable. So what then is the self? Is it something non-existent? No, it is existent. So how that should be existing? So the only choice now left is to say that this is the self is something mere subjective kind of mere designation based on the subjective thought, mere imputation, mere designation based on the different aggregates of the self. And when you speak about this mere designation, it should not be kind of mixed, confused with the mirification or exaggeration. Trying to exaggerate a snake over the coil of rope. So unlike that, so there should be a proper basis of designation, the aggregates of the person, and on top of having these different aggregates as a basis of designation, then the mental thought designate the concept, the self, on top of these aggregates as a basis. So as such, we see that the self is not something pointable among the objective aggregates, among the aggregates themselves, no something distinct from the aggregates, and yet the self should be there. So this tells us that the self lacks objective existence, but the mode of existence is by way of subjective designation. So this absence of the self at the level of objective existence, or at the level of true existence, or as something findable among the parts, is so this absence of these qualities is called as the emptiness in this context. In reality, the self is a mere mental designation rather than objective or independent existence. But then analyze, just see how the self or I appears to an innate mind. Again, it appears to be something independent existent. It is as, it appears as if like it exists from its own side, or it exists from it exists as independent mode. So that mistaken mind, that mistaken mind or the mistaken view, which thinks that this self really exists as independent mode, the way it appears. So that wisdom is called as the the egoistic mind grasping at the self, grasping at the I. Egoistic mind grasping at the independent existence of my. So when you try to extend this I, saying that, oh, this is my. So on top of being confining it to the self, when you try to expand that, or to, oh, this is my hand, or this is my thing, so then that mistaken view which apprehends the mistaken view or the egoistic mind which apprehends the intrinsic or true existence of those things which are possessed by the self, those things as mine, is called as the egoistic mind, or egoistic mind apprehending the intrinsic existence of mine. So whereas when you view someone else, so Again, when the other person who is truly a distinct person appears to your mind, so that person doesn't appear as if that is mere designation from your own mind. Rather, it appears to be existing from its own side or existing as independent mode. So that, again, if you think that, oh, that self really exists as it appears, something very concrete and independently, so that mistaken view is, though not regarded as the egoistic mind, it is still regarded as the self-grasping mind. So when you view yourself as the object of the self-grasping mind, so this self-grasping mind turns out to be the mistaken egoistic view apprehending the true existence of the self. And whereas if you take someone else, distinct person, as the object of self-grasping mind, so that would be simply classified as self-grasping mind. Grasping over the person, self-grasping of a person, and not the egoistic mind. And whereas in terms of the self-grasping of phenomena, grasping at the inherent existence of anything else other than the self and other than mind. So, taking these into those things other than self and other than mind. So, if you apprehend those things to be existing as inherently, so that grasping would be the self-grasping of phenomena. In the auto commentary, there is the mention of, first of all, identifying. So, in the auto commentary of Supplement to the Middle Way, Chandrakirti, first of all, I'll try to identify the ignorance, the self-grasping of person and self-grasping of phenomena. And then, in the following that, he then stated very clearly that both these two kinds of self-graspings, the self-grasping of person and phenomena, they are equally the first link out of the 12 links of dependent origination, that is the link of ignorance. And then, the Lama Tsongkhapa then says that, so out of the two different versions or two different traditions which hold, one holding the idea that the self-grasping of phenomena should not be the first link of the 12 links of dependent origination or the root cause of samsara, and yet there's another tradition which says that, oh, indeed, this self-grasping mind, this self-grasping of phenomena is also the root cause of the samsara. So then the kind of the tradition that we are following here belongs to the latter, that both the self-grasping of phenomena and person are equally the ignorance which is responsible for causing all the sufferings of samsara. So then the root cause of all samsara should be something spontaneously arisen arisen ignorance, or naturally, spontaneously arisen self-grasping mind, which is commonly being shared by all sentient beings. It should not be something which is philosophically acquired.
Mm-hmm.